very close. So it's around 700 years before. Using an Australianism, you've got to be joking. No, they're not joking. It's the Lord who looks down on the whole of it. He knows the end from the beginning. So he's able to stay there. He's able to stay there. If you wanted to send one of the Trinity to earth, no one can abide or dwell in the presence of the Almighty. No one can see God or live. How is God going to come to earth? If you were one of the Trinity, how would you plan it? Well, you might say, we'll have a gigantic spaceship like the spaceship Enterprise and Star Wars, and we'll arrive in all the splendor of heaven. You know the problem with that, won't you? People love signs. Jesus said this generation loves signs. They want the spectacular. They want to see miraculous things happen. Not the Lord Jesus. He said to people, don't tell anyone what I've just done to you. What an amazing way. Well, he's got to be humble. We want to show humility. What would be the lowest place he could arrive in an agricultural society? He could have arrived in a palace, of course, like all the great sheikhs of the Middle East in all their glory. What's the lowest place in an agrarian or agricultural society? The lowest place. In the barn! A stable! What a start! David used to have a sticker on his car, or his brother. Kid born in Jerusalem to rule the world. Kid born in stable to rule the world. Condescension, the humility. But how to do it to be a real man and yet remain the eternal God? Huh? Well, this is where the virgin birth comes in. He partakes of humanity through Mary, but not Joseph, because that would make him a sinner with a direct connection to Adam. So the Father is the Heavenly Father by the Holy Spirit. And we have that in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it says, this sign will come, a virgin will conceive. Now we have some translations that says, a young woman will conceive. But that's a bit of a problem. Every virgin is a young woman, but not every young woman is a virgin. And it distinctly says a virgin. It's the Hebrew word alma. The majority of occurrences is for a virgin, an unmarried. Of course, this for Mary was a great sacrifice. A great sacrifice. A babe out of wedlock or prematurely in our society it goes on in almost every second or third home. But in that culture, Joseph said, divorce proceedings immediately. Disgrace. And Mary carried that. But that was God's method in an amazing way to enter humanity. And it was a virgin. And we believe that the testimony points through the testimony of the LXX, or the testimony of the Septuagint translation. Septuagint translation is the Greek translation from the Hebrew into Greek, 200 years before the Lord Jesus Christ in Alexandria, Egypt. And that, incidentally, is the Bible that the early church used When quotations are made in the New Testament, the majority of them are not from the Hebrew, but from the Greek translation made 200 BC. That's the one they used primarily in the writings. Now, what does that say when they came to Isaiah 7:14? They unashamedly and without any preconceived notions or influence from anybody, they translated virgin. Virgin. And this is what Matthew quotes. It's a wonderful testimony. Of course, the question comes, how could a sign 750 years before the birth be of any significance? And this is a subject that we cannot address, but we point it out to you. There are those who believe that it is a single reference in Isaiah 7:14, because the following verse says, butter and honey shall he eat, and so on. And what does that refer to? Does that refer to the Christ child, or does that refer to another child that is being born at that time and is referring to another subject? I'm sorry, we can't deal with it. I'm subscribing to the single referent or the single reference that the whole of that, Isaiah 7:14 and 15, is referring to the Lord Jesus. Our hearts are settled by saying Matthew quoted that Isaiah 7:14 and says it was a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and we accept that. Now, who is this person? This one who is mentioned is a son, a child who is also deity, Emmanuel, or God with us. And when we come to Isaiah chapter 9, let's have a look at Isaiah chapter 9. We find that there is a further description of this virgin-born babe, and we find some significant titles given to him that show us that he is none other and unapologetically God, Almighty God. Here we go. We'll be singing these choruses and receiving cards with these verses at Christmas time. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, or Wonderful Counselor together, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I must read verse 7. Because it says here, the Lord is so excited about all of this. He says that here, hang in there please, verse 7. Of the increase of this child's government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Are you excited about anything in the Christian life? Amen. I'm excited about verse 7. I can see what's going on over there in the Middle East and ISIS, and I hang my head in shame, and I can't believe that humanity would do that to humanity. And our brothers and sisters are suffering so horribly under Islam and that area. But I look beyond that, and I know the throne of David is coming, the son of David is coming, of his kingdom there will be peace, and there will be no end. Don't think it's going to last for 1,000 years. It's forever. There's no end. No end to that reign of peace. Now notice the names. Some of them may be a little bit difficult. Someone might say, hello, Isaiah's got mixed up. He's called Jesus the Father, Everlasting Father. And then there's Mighty God. Here are these great names of deity. What does our note say? Everlasting Father, literally, Ave Ad in the Hebrew. Father of eternity. Father of eternity. progenitor of eternity. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who created and is responsible for eternity. Because He's God. Is there eternity? Is there eternal concept? It's there because of Jesus. He's the progenitor of it. He's the father of it. What mighty titles here.